Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, performance enhancement expert and author, Kamala Mellon.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Amay Love. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I was having a pleasant conversation with a friend of mine who I hadn't spoken to in a long time, and out of the blue, she, in conversation, said she was in the process of remodeling her living room, and the only thing was is that she's been trying to decide what color yellow to paint the walls, or one wall, I don't remember exactly. And she said that sometimes she thinks it should be this shade of yellow, and sometimes she thinks it should be that shade of yellow. And she all of a sudden started this barrage of speaking down about her mind and her thinking process, and thinking ill of the way she thinks, and blaming her brain and saying, that's my brain, and going into history and bringing up things that we've never talked to before. That's how it was when I was doing such and such, and that was wrong, and this is, and she went into this whole thing and putting herself down all over the place. And I said, you know, I kind of felt like I actually had to jump in between her and her brain, and in the sense, like the poor brain didn't sound like it was saying anything. Arguably, she was using her brain to say these things, but it was an interesting conversation. And I said, you know, it might be the brain is doing its job. I said, you know, potentially it's the brain or the mind's job to look at different data. So she started to argue like, no, it's just what kind of color yellow. And I said, well, think of this. Maybe your brain is thinking like, when are you asking your brain? Because if you're asking your brain as soon as you wake up in the morning and you're looking at the wall, you haven't had your coffee or your day hasn't started, or you're anxious to get your day started, and you look at the wall and it's like, it needs to be this for sure. Then you've had your coffee or your day has started, and then you get agitated because a client or something or other, and you look at the wall and you say, oh, no, it has to be this. Well, things have changed. You know, so has the color in the room. The sun has moved. And as the day progresses, the sun has moved even more, or it hasn't moved because it's been gray. So you haven't seen the light change. So is it a gray day? Is it a great day for you? Is it a happy day? Is it a not so fun day? And so I said, in the evening, are you looking for a different kind of yellow as you're trying to bring your good day to a close or your bad day to a close? Like it, and I thought, and I shared with her, maybe we're using the mind as a tool, and maybe it's a great tool, but maybe that's not the tool for this particular exercise. Like, hammer is a great tool, but if you're using it to take out a screw that's been screwed into the wall, it might destroy the rest of the wall. So we had a fun conversation about that, and she's like, you know, you're right. And so what is it? I'm like, well, I don't know if I have the answer to that yet, but at least we know that this line of thinking isn't necessarily helping. And for all I know, it could be the soul, it could be the heart, and it requires further explanation, or we might come to an answer during the show. Interestingly enough, in this day and age, we are mid 2025 right now. Somebody might say, well, easy, use AI. And interestingly enough, we'd be looking outside for what maybe is an inside choice, because outside could give us more data, at least the way AI seems to work at the moment, or my understanding of it. It could say, you know, in the morning you like this, or in the evening you'd like this, so here's a happy medium, or I actually don't know. It'd be interesting to ask AI. However, AI isn't going to live with how it feels in the morning and how it feels in night, or how it makes us feel or helps us feel when we look at it, whether we enjoy it with people or without it, when we're alone and when we're together. So interesting. And it's also interesting because, speaking of AI, artificial intelligence, our guest is a big champion of HI, human intelligence. In fact, our guest's book is titled Working In, like as opposed to Working Out for Athletes. The title is actually Working In, the Elite Athlete's Guide to Working Out from the Inside. So what does that mean? How do we do that? How can we potentially use that and work with our mind instead of just putting it down or telling it to be quiet? Can't wait to get into this conversation.
Wow, and the conversation can go in so many directions, so but many. I'm excited to hear what our guest has to say. But boy, you got me thinking about resonance. And I've spoke on this topic a little bit, but the idea of the energy that you bring to a board meeting and how that affects the way others show up or may affect the way that things are created. And there's a time and place for everything. Some people pitch at the wrong time. It's like walking into a room when you're all worked out and excited, and you walk into a room with a couple of people that are virtually napping, and you're on different wavelengths. And may not be received so well sometimes.
So are you referring also to like the color or the frequency of the wall and what it inspires or how we resonate with it?
All of it contributes. In fact, even more so now, they're finally doing studies around light and recognizing that certain lighting creates obviously disruptive patterns in children versus other lighting. So maybe with the right lighting, they're not agitated and needing to get up and run up and down the aisles and things like that.
Nice. Well, interestingly enough, our show is around that in the sense that we have titled this episode Performance Enhancement, which in so many ways includes all of what we're talking about. So, and won't be able to include all of what we're talking about and more because we only have a half hour to do it, but at least for today, Performance Enhancement from the Inside Out is the title of our episode 847. And as I mentioned, our guest is an author, but she is also a dancer, very professional dancer, internationally professional dancer, turned performance coach, turned author. We're so happy to be speaking with our guest, Kamala Nellen, welcome to the Life Changer Show.
Oh, thanks so much. It was so good, Filippo, to hear that story about the yellow. My heart goes out to that friend.
Yes, what color should what color yellow should it be?
Yeah, and I just want to say the book, the title is maybe misleading, and I'm in the process of making a much expanded version of it, but it really is for everyone, and it's hands-on exercises for self-empowerment and managing the mind, and anybody can look at it. It's for sale on Amazon. Hope that it provides a lot of solid tools to use.
And we got that. That's why the monologue, because it could help somebody choose a yellow. as a matter of fact, one of the subtitles of your book or taglines that you use on your website is Learn the Art and Science of Working In. So art and science, we're only going to be able to touch on either of those and some of the breadth of your experiences. Speaking of the breadth of your experiences, it's interesting that you understand this and can share this from a place that not everybody can. You have the arts from the performance and at such a high level. And then you also have the spirituality and the yoga and also the science of body, mind, and the spirit, of course, all wrapped in together. Let's start with the performance aspect / art aspect / actually dance is athletic. So that too, right?
Oh, yes, it absolutely is. It's a very rigorous program. And I might add yoga is also, but let me explain that Yoga is a comprehensive philosophical system, one of the six systems of philosophy from India. And yes, it encompasses the mind and the body and a way to navigate life that actually brings happiness. And much of it is about the mind. But the art is how to use it. And in performance, it's a wonderful, incredibly rich and diverse system that you can tap into and use little bits and pieces of to make your performance spectacular. And I've had this happen with some of my clients, quite a few.
So, as happens with many people who have gone on to teach things that they've learned, a lot of the things that would have helped you as well as you did in performance, you did not know until after you were stopped performing. Is that correct?
That is correct, but I will say that I wish I had had them because navigating the track of high performance in whatever you do, whether you're a singer, musician, dancer, a student—I mean, whatever endeavor—you come up against these incredible challenges, setbacks, letdowns, highs, lows. And constantly changing situations from injuries to navigating what's going on in your life. But I did have an experience of what is I call the zone as a dancer. At a certain point, after years of intensive training, it was actually after I stopped ballet and started concert modern dance, I took my pointe shoes off and I took off. Because they weren't very comfortable. But yeah, that moment where performance goes beyond the effort of the individual and becomes its own spectacular outpouring of creativity. I don't know if that makes sense. But
It
yeah, I
makes sense.
recognized it after starting the path of yoga under a master. So.
It makes sense. And what I believe you're posturing here is that we can have those experiences in any career and in various aspects of our life. Not to belabor this, but even when looking at a wall and saying, aha, I have the perfect yellow, and have it
That
be
is
so.
true.
Now,
Yes, which, yeah, yes, there are tools for that.
And interestingly, you brought these tools, or these tools came into, well, actually, potentially in a moment such as that, when you were at, was it a professional baseball game?
Yeah, that's true. I had been. After 18 years immersion under the master, and I was asked to go, which was a big change for me. I began an immersion in the postures of yoga, which is what's commonly taught, and I was teaching, opened a yoga studio, and then one day I was at a baseball game, a major league game, and it was like an epiphany, like bingo, that's what I'm supposed to do. Because I watched these guys warming up on the field and thought, oh my God, they don't know how to do this in
Just
a way.
from warming up.
They were warming up, and I was like, oh my God, they don't know how to stretch, they don't know how to align the body. And then I thought, and they really need help with the mental stuff because baseball, especially, is what 30% success, something like that. There's a lot of mental gyrations for all athletes, but in baseball. But that's what started the business of working with athletes. And also they were coming to my yoga classes and asking for help.
I had heard years ago that football players were taking ballet. I think that's true.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So is this similar?
It's very similar, and NBA players have studied yoga. In fact, a friend of mine worked with Peyton Manning the year that he won the Super Bowl. And so it's powerful. It's powerful stuff. And I know Yehudi Menuhin, the famous violinist, would stand on his head before performing, which he learned from BKS Iyengar, which is the system that I was trained in with the physical. The body postures and how to use them properly.
So you have lots of stories of people that have used this, and things have changed within moments even. I like the story about the diver. I know it's in the book, but if you could give us a synopsis of just one example of that.
Sure, sure. That was a really interesting. I had an ad up in Orange County that I was teaching a introduction to meditation workshop. And he reached out to me and he said, I have this intense fear at the bottom of my free dives. They go down 8, 9, 10 minutes with one breath. And he said, I have terror and I feel like I'm going to die. So I gave him an esoteric practice, which I do show in the book. And he went off and won the US free diving record. And then someone else used it and won the world's record.
Wow.
Overcoming fear. Yeah.
Wow. And that's actually an extreme case. I don't know how many people in their day-to-day life have to do that kind of exertion or have that kind of experience. So if it works there, what's one of the milder, like in our regular lives?
Yeah, just for everyday things like anxiety, which is low-level ongoing fear, which so many people have, or even exhaustion or intense emotions, the control of the breath, and it doesn't have to be fancy, but you can try this while you're listening. Just sit up with your spine straight and your feet on the floor and your hands in your lap, and just become aware of your breath and open the chest, meaning let your shoulders move a little bit back and feel your collarbones broadening, and then relax the muscles, relax your abdomen, and begin to allow the breath to just lengthen on the exhalation. And if you do that, first of all, you get a good night's sleep. It'll take you right off into sleep at night. But it's very calming to the nervous system. And so one thing to remember is that the mind, the body, and the breath are all interconnected. And the soul actually also comes into the body on the breath. So the breath is key to quieting the mind and helping to deal with fear.
Because the breath and the body talk to each other, or we stop breathing when we're anxious.
Well, yeah. I mean, I recognized at one point I wasn't breathing, you know. My diaphragm was really tight and I would hold my breath. A lot of it's, you know, all the challenges we go through, we tend to grip the abdomen and tighten the throat and hold the breath. So it's a simple exercise, but it's very powerful. And then you can also focus on a long, slow, deep inhalation and just let the breath come out, you know, let it, you know, not fast, but, you know, faster. And that also increases your energy. It will wake up your mind, you know, if you're feeling fatigued. So the breath is powerful. It's the key. And it's simple.
Well, I had a feeling we would be talking about breath. Is it connected to the pause, or is it different?
Oh, yes. And this takes a little bit of practice, I want to say. Yeah. Well, let's look at a musical note. If someone plays an exquisite long note on a violin, at the end of that, as it drifts off into the ether, there's this exquisite pause. And in that pause, especially if you're a music lover, there's this ecstasy, you know, in this moment of nothing, but it's fulfillment in a way. And in the same way, if you begin to become aware of the very small pause at the end of the in-breath and at the end of the out-breath, that's the anchor. That is the object of meditation. And it's that exquisite, blissful, expansive state. So, yeah.
So actually, speaking of musicians, I want to give a shout out to Bevan Manson, friend and previous performance guest on the Life Changes show twice, actually, who referred us to you, and we're grateful to him. And yes, the music connection I get, and that happens in a lot of things, like ballet. Since we started there, or you started there, like somebody holding a pose, right? Or that yes. pause at the tip of a jump or something, right?
Well, yeah. And if you look at somebody like, I don't know if your guests know Margot Fonteyn, she was a world-renowned prima ballerina, but a really well-trained dancer will have the artistry to subtly extend the movement beyond and during the pause. I don't know if that makes sense. But
well, actually, I don't know if what I said makes sense. So maybe we're both saying the same thing. Like there could be no pause in the middle of a jump, or could there feel like there
oh,
is?
Yes, I've experienced it. At a certain point for me, I began to absolutely love jumps and big leaps because it was like being buoyed up from underneath me. This unseen hand would just pause me in the air, and it was an ecstatic moment for me, certainly beyond what I thought I would have done. And I think it does happen for accomplished performers. Not that I was the most accomplished performer, of course, but yeah, just experiencing that. I'm sure, I know Bevan gets that in his music. I know other musicians have that too, that exquisite, I guess I could say it's a pause. I don't know what to call it.
That's
it's in motion, but it's paused.
it's back to that zone experience, right? In the zone experience where like time stops.
Yeah. And the truth is anybody can have that when you meditate. And so when I first got initiated into meditation, it was this very beautiful, expansive, all-pervasive sense of love. And then after a while, I had this really beautiful experience of being in this, it was almost like an energetic field or an ocean of this alive energy. Like I was just watching myself as this tiny entity in this vast field, which is like the same thing, but you can get it from going inside, which is easy for people.
And just to be clear, a pause doesn't necessarily mean a vacation, right?
Oh, no. It's a lot. I want to say the state of meditation is so alive, so vibrant, so present, so clear. It's unmistakably alive. It's not like zoning out watching TV or something.
Well, I guess it's unavoidable we have to talk about meditation. Now, and I'm happy to, actually, and I'm glad we're going to, and was excited to, because I feel like I need to do it more. And we've talked about it on the show, and I've heard it, and I don't know if some of the audience listening is where I am. Like, we don't do it enough. And it's not that I don't see the benefits, but I have to say, you brought in benefits or experiences of it that, at least that I haven't understood as you described it. So let's talk about pause meditation.
Well, and it's not something you can think your way into. You know, you can't analyze it. You just have to practice by sitting there. But I'm going to give a short exercise. If I can, it'll be a minute long. Is that okay? That
yes, everybody yes, yes.
Okay. And you don't even have to close your eyes. Okay. So, just get comfortable and focus. And this is what's called a dharana. It's a very short concentration exercise, which teaches us to access that place inside where the bliss, the creativity, and the anchor that we can live from is. So, okay, focus on meeting a loved one or a friend that you haven't seen for a really long time, and you see them and what that experience is like. Go into that when it happened one time. Just get that clear and see if you can conjure it back up. And I'll give you, you know, just a few seconds to recreate that beautiful moment.
Got it.
Okay. And then, so focus on the experience inside you in your heart. the feeling, what it is. And I'm guessing it's ecstasy and joy and, excitement and wonder. And then slowly let the image of that person, or if it's your dog, go and hold that experience of the joy or the bliss that you're feeling, the ecstasy.
Nice.
And stay with that for a few seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can extend this out for 2 minutes. I know we're on the radio, so I don't want to have too much blank airspace. But there are a number of exercises that teach us to experience that space of what's called the self or love or consciousness or whatever you want to call it, by doing an exercise like this that just teaches you where that is, which is in your heart. It's inside you. And that's what meditation is for, to access the happiness that comes from within. Because in truth, nothing outside you brings you happiness. We think the husband, the wife, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the great job is the source of happiness, but it's not. It's always accessible inside. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know about,
Because it was always there.
It is always there. Just focus on, even when you walk in nature or you're watching a sunset, that feeling you have in your heart, and just hold on to it. That is one way to access that.
So potentially that got accessed during that moment that we're actually thinking about right now. It wasn't necessarily that moment, it was that we accessed that through
Now.
that at that moment.
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely. So next time you play music that you love, focus on that feeling you have inside and stay with that. But don't forget to play the music.
So one of the things that, and I know we can't go too deep into this right now, but one of the things that you brought, that you got from, I believe your teachings and the person you studied under was the goal or the objective of meditation, which is you. Now, I know we can't
Yes.
go too deep into that, but could you give us a hint as to what that means?
Well, in brief words, the inner self or God, I know a lot of people don't like that word, but I'm just going to use it anyway, or consciousness, is composed of three things: existence, which is the I. You get up in the morning, how do you know you exist? Well, if you see your body there in space, and you know you're seeing stuff and hearing stuff and tasting stuff and smelling stuff. And so you know you exist. That I is the existence of you. And the consciousness is really cool. It's the one who is aware of everything, who even knows when you were dreaming or remembers what you have to do from yesterday when you wake up in the morning. There's this incredibly alive consciousness, which is you also. And the other piece is that joy, that bliss, that is the nature of the self, the nature of God. And all of that is you. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes. It does. And so in that you-ness, there's so much talk about artificial intelligence, and that's a very interesting and important conversation. You bring in, which I think is part of the you-ness, the human intelligence, these HI.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think AI has its place. It's fantastic at gathering data. It's the art of plagiarism when it comes to the internet. So, I have my issues with it, and I'm sick of it trying to fill in the blanks when I'm writing an article. But
Interesting.
the truth is, inside you is so much creativity and so much power, and it's the same creativity and power that created the universe. That's a mouthful to swallow, but it's there. And so when you go inside and you start to access, that's why you have so many great guests on this show. They tap into that inner creativity. They're not looking at AI, they're movers and shakers, they're inventors. You know, they're people who have gone within, and this creativity, you know, bursts out of them, and they do these amazing things. But the truth is, it's in everybody, you know, and we have the power, I believe, to change the world if we just shift our perspective and stop expecting something outside of us to tell us what to do. Human intelligence is way superior to AI. That's my quick advertisement.
Okay. Well, like so many things, it seems what you're bringing to this part of the conversation is that though we can and maybe we want to look outside, further outside for interesting and exciting things, that we can balance it out and be and benefit from also further looking inside.
Yes, and you know, if you take time to get quiet every day, this insight will come up, but you have to be willing to sit still. I have a friend who's a well-known, actually famous yoga teacher, and he says, Westerners are actionaholics. So we're always go do, go do, go do. If we could just hurry up and do nothing and get still, there's immense creativity inside of us to solve problems, to create something, which everybody has inside.
I like that. As opposed to hurry up and wait, hurry up and do nothing.
Hurry up and do nothing for a few minutes and see, listen to what's inside you know.
So, sounds like the title of the book is or the new version of it is going to change. In the meantime, working in the Elite Athlete's Guide to Working Out from the Inside. Now, you're not saying that this is going to make us be able to hold our breath for 8 minutes and dive deep
Well,
like
you
a
can go for that.
diver.
I wish you luck. Get in the bathtub and I'll come fish you out. No, but it really does. I mean, I've had people get in one session and go and take off and win medals. And it's not just athletes, but I mean, it's that these are simple exercises from the science of yoga, which is really the science of mind, and it's very ancient. You know, to, I want to say, bypass the mind, but it's actually just bypassing thoughts. And as my teacher always said, thoughts, both negative and positive, are of no use unless it's to drive the car or something or make a cake. But yeah, pay no attention to your thinking, but go deeper, go deeper.
So the certain postures in that are used in yoga that are part of yoga can have an effect on our body and can help steer us in certain ways of being.
Yes, I mean, there are sequences for anxiety, for exhaustion, for blood pressure, for you know, imbalances in the musculature, even for the heart and the circulation. I mean, there it's a science, it really is. And so if you can find a teacher who's really had long and deep study, these things are very valuable. Now, they're not a cure. If you go to the doctor, you know, you go to the physical therapist and make sure you're okay after surgery or whatever. It's not a standalone, but it's a huge help in recovery from various things.
So the book is available on Amazon and where books are sold online. Again, working in Kamala Nellen, Kamala Nellen. And the postures I saw in something else. Is that a separate course you have?
Yeah, I didn't focus on the body stuff because this was really important to me. The mind is such an active influence on our lives, and for positive or negative. And I felt that was really important. But yeah, I'm gonna get into some of that stuff in the next book and fill it in with more stories and more scriptural background from yoga. So yeah, it's a project. I've got a few articles out on in the Theosophist magazine, online. You can in different issues, but yeah, I'm working on it. It's gonna be a while, so
well, it's a big body of work. I've seen the beginnings of it, and I'm liking it. We all are liking it, and why we're happy to invite you on the show. The website is one of the websites is your name, right? KamalaNellan.com.
Yeah, that's the main one, and it will be revamped. But I just kind of stuck that up there as a CB rather than an interactive. But you can absolutely reach me through the contact form there.
And let's plug your YouTube efforts.
Oh my God, I'm so new at YouTube. Yeah, you can. It's more of my story about my journey. Yeah.
Well, there were all kinds of things that I've seen so far, but so that's on YouTube. We'll have a link for that also on the Life Changes Show webpage. There's so much here, and as in closing, you have worked with. I love how you've worked with children. You've worked with homemakers and people in their everyday life, all the way to lawyers and doctors and execs and all of that. And somehow, you might approach it differently and maybe speak to them differently, but it's all the same.
Yeah, pretty much. And mostly, it's the body or the mind. But you know, I have people who navigate interpersonal relationships and. Languaging is a whole nother thing, which I'd love to put in the book. It's just so much. I might have to write a few different books. But
yeah. Oh, well, we look forward to that. Now that you've teased us, languaging, could you give us a 30-second commercial on what that is?
Well, in yoga, it's called matrika. With the each letter of the alphabet has an energy. And so, you know, standing alone, they don't form words. But if I say, you're an idiot, you know the repercussions of that. And if I say, I love you, you're wonderful, you're so good, you're so great, all these words have power. And so learning to express ourselves, not just in that simple way, but learning how to ask for what we want, taking agency, identifying our needs and feelings, and requesting in a way that people can relate to. It's really about connecting to others and to yourself. It's self-language too, like your friend who was all upset and denigrating himself over the yellow. I mean, if she would just change her language and say, I'm so great, I have the creativity of the universe in me. I am benevolence and compassion and kindness, and I'm infinitely creative. And then she can pick the yellow.
Wow. I hope she listens to this show, and I hope you write that book and so that we all could read it. Kamala, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. It's been delightful and lovely learning from you and with you.
Thank you, Filippo. It's been really a pleasure, and I'm honored to be on this show.
Thank you. Kamala Nellan, KamalaNellan.com. And what a pleasure. We've learned so much working in. And with that, more working in, here is our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Martha, and I'm very distressed with all the turbulence going on in the world right now and want to know if this means we are going to have World War III.
Precious Martha, it is completely understandable to feel uneasy with everything going on in the world right now. Conflicts, economic stress, climate extremes, political division. Many people are asking the same question. Are we headed towards World War III? The truth is, there is no clear answer, And I have researched this question and have discovered that most experts do not believe that a full-scale world war like World War I or World War II is imminent. I trust that I can help put things in perspective by sharing a few of my thoughts on this issue. Yes, there is global turbulence. There are wars and conflicts. Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Gaza, tensions in the South China Sea, and others are ongoing. And there are rivalries between superpowers. The U.S., China, and Russia are engaged in complex power struggles, militarily, economically, and ideologically. And we have AI, cyber warfare, added to the mix. These are modern battlegrounds that complicate the landscape beyond traditional warfare. However, this is not the 20th century. Today, global economies are deeply interlinked. Countries are far more dependent on each other today, making large-scale war extremely costly and less appealing. Nuclear deterrence, ironically, makes total war less likely because no country wants mutually assured destruction. What you can do to de-stress is to stay informed, but don't get overwhelmed. Limit exposure to alarmist media, and seek out reliable sources. And please ground yourself through daily spiritual practice, community support, meditation, and compassion. These are real anchors during uncertain times. And please continue to be the light I know you to be. Every act of peace, clarity, and kindness counters fear and division. And let's remember that history has many dark chapters, but humanity has often stepped back from the edge. This moment is a call to awaken, not to panic. While the future is uncertain, it is not fated. Collective consciousness, awareness, and action do shape what comes next. You might want to say this calming meditation. I use it often. Even when the world is shaking, I am grounded in peace. Even when fear rises, I breathe in stillness. I choose love. I choose trust. I am a vessel of calm in this chaos. Repeat this 3 times or more if it feels right. And dear Martha, I believe that when practiced regularly, this meditation can become a sanctuary you can return to, no matter what is happening in the world.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And for our performance segment, we feature singer, vocalist, songstress, and band leader, Amay Love, here on the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Amay.
Hi there. It's so wonderful to be here.
It's so great to have you here. It's we want to thank Maisine for introducing you to us a while back, actually, when she was a performance guest on the show as well.
Yes, Maisine is a longtime friend and collaborator. She's very talented.
So you, speaking of very talented, you are all those things and more. Actually, we're going to get into some of those things, but when I say more, I mean more in different ways, like you're a designer of clothing.
That's right.
Like, wow, I didn't expect that. And a couple other things. So tell us real quickly about that. It's on Etsy, by the way.
Yeah, my brand is called Amay Love Designs. It's on my stories, Amay Love on Etsy, A-M-A-E Love. And I design for men and women and all genders. And I even have a little in-home fashion studio in my home in Oakland, California called Studio L'Amour, where you can come in and I got like vintage stuff and, you know, secondhand stuff and jewelry and accessories and clothing. And it's kind of like a really fabulous, you know, Buffalo Exchange or something like that, and all my original designs, and I can do personal shopping appointments and stuff. So I have been doing that for about 20 years with the same fair trade family run tailors in Bali.
Wow. Well, that's amazing.
Thank you.
And I know you use that word and you spell it M-A-A-E. E-Z-I-N-G, amazing, just as your name is spelled. So, Ame, let's talk about music. You know, when people say they're busy with music, they're busy with music. A lot of my friends, most of them are busy with their music, those that are musicians. But when you're busy with music, you're writing, you're singing, you're leading a band, and you're leading another band, and you're doing weddings galore.
Yes. I've become a wedding singer, very busy in this time of year. I absolutely love it. I've been doing it for about 4 years. I'm in two bands. One is called Radio Gatsby, and it's like a jazz focused postmodern jukebox-esque sort of thing where we do, you know, generally like no guitar and with horns, and it's kind of like old timey, but we can also do, you know, Motown and all the wedding stuff. And then the other band is called Lucky Devils, and that is a professional wedding band with rotating players, and we do, that's more like full-on funk soul pop focused. And I'm doing around in and around the Bay Area, and I absolutely love it. Being a wedding singer involves, like you mentioned, I'm a band leader, and that's a skill that you have to have when you're leading a live band. And these wedding, in the wedding industry, generally the players are just really professional, and they're not, it's not like a set band that's rehearsed beforehand. There's rotating players, so the people that get together to play any given wedding or show have never played together before in many aspects. And when you're the lead singer, you're leading each song. So for instance, like if a track ends as on a fade out, you have to signal a different ending in the moment on the fly. So there's hand signals and all this stuff. So I really love that. It's like being a conductor, in addition to just being a vocalist. And of course I love being challenged by singing, you know, all the greats. You know, I sing Tina Turner, Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, Beyonce, you name it. So it's very challenging, very invigorating, and very fun to play weddings. They're just celebrations of love and joy, and people are generally having a great time.
I know several wedding singers. I don't remember ever hearing anybody this excited. And when you first shared it with me, I knew you were genuine.
Yeah.
And you had so many reasons, so many more that we can even have time for here, but good on you. And the thing I think I liked the most was you had a feeling of actually the importance of this. Like people are paying you to help them have like the best time of their life.
Yes. Yes. And I'm just so grateful to be a professionally paid performer. And at this stage of my life, because I kind of got started late-ish. I've done so many things in my creative career, but I started being a professional singer when I was 11, and I'm 47 years old. So that's about whatever, 35 years now. And I just became, you know, kind of like being professionally paid at this level in my 40s during my perimenopause journey. So it's just been really rewarding. And I appreciate every single moment of it.
Well, I appreciate you putting in the perimenopause before I did into the conversation.
It always works its way into every conversation I have.
I don't know. I shouldn't be laughing. I don't know. Actually, I don't know the story. Actually, let's pause for the story, because technically when I grow up is what we're going to get to hear. So let's hear that first, then we'll get into that story. What is When I Grow Up about?
Oh, When I Grow Up is just about the kind of person that you want to be, and calling in those changes in yourself first and just being your best self. When I Grow Up was also originally a collaboration with an electronic artist called The Human Experience. He did an electronica track of it, and it's been one of my bigger hits and kind of like the Burning Man and festival scene for years. There are many, many thousands of people that learned about me through this song. And when I did my live album Real in Nashville, I re-recorded it as an all live version for my own album.
Nice, nice. Well, we're going to get to hear it here in its entirety. Here is Ame Love's original song, pre-recorded, When I Grow Up on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you.
grow up, I wanna be happy. When I grow up, I wanna be free. If I ever grow up, all I wanna be is the real me. But what about the times when I get in my own way? What about the times when I just turn away? What about the people who actually don't have a say? Nothing's gonna change if I keep on the same way. Look inside to define my intentions and design my dimensions as divine intervention reminds. See with my heart and not my eyes, actualize. Cause the more I grow, the less I see I know. And the more I know how far I have to go. Cause to truly grow, divine intervention reminds. See with our hearts and not our eyes, harmonize, yeah. Hard to break free of illusions. Deep within my heart, I can feel the solutions. Never gonna end, I will always be growing. No need to believe now that I've tasted knowing. Cause now is the time. Divine intervention reminds to see with my heart and not my eyes. As I grow up, I yearn to be truthful. As I show up, I learn to be vulnerable. As we all grow up now, finally, it can be simple. As we show up, we earn the keys to the temple.
Mm. As we, was it as we show up or as we grow up? We find
as we show up.
We show up. Wow, we find the key to the temple.
It's like deep. Showing up for ourselves. Authenticity, you know, just growing up into who we're truly meant to be and realizing that we're always going to be growing and learning this never-ending journey.
Nice. Amay Love. So Amay Love, A-M-A-E, love.com is where people could find you, but you're on the socials and you mentioned Etsy. Where else?
On Instagram, Amay Loves Life. Just the name Amay Love. You can find me on everywhere, Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff.
And let's not forget Radio Gatsby.
Yes, absolutely.
.com for all your wedding needs and other casuals too. Corporate, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can really play any kind of gig. I can play a solo gig, I can play with one other player, I can play with a full band, anything in between. My boyfriend's even a professional DJ of 40 years, and I can
Oh,
sing
you
with
got
his
it
set.
covered.
Yeah, I can sing in any capacity, so reach out to me if you want a live performance.
So, you've sung, I take it, at Burning Man, right?
Many times.
So, like, so some of between the clothes and between the vibe, I get like either you got from Burning Man or Burning Man got from you, or a little bit of both.
I mean, I started out actually in like the Grateful Dead scene when I was 16,
Oh,
when they're
wow.
still alive. I got a little bit of that. I mean, just to even go further back, I grew up Mormon. I'm from Provo, Utah. I had like a big psychedelic awakening in my teens. I got into the Grateful Dead. Then I got into, like the jam band scene. And then I found like Burning Man in the early, like the tail end of the 90s underground rave scene in San Francisco. So, and then, that in the early aughts when the festival scene was still underground. So I feel like I caught all these beautiful waves
Wow.
of truly, the underground scene flourishing. And I was always all up in that and really just exploring all the aspects of that creatively. My former band, Animastic, had our own theme camp at Burning Man 2004. We had like an art car where we would play shows all over. So definitely, it's a huge
Definitely.
part of my journey creatively.
So, where does Mary perimenopause come in?
Well, I just in general, I want to. I'm going to be starting a YouTube and personal brand around talking about it and telling my story,
Wow.
telling the stories of other powerful, beautiful women I know. Just really wanting to change the. I mean, health is another huge thing I'm into. I'm a chef, and I've always been, and I used to have a YouTube on cooking show. You still can find it, called Sexy Bitches Like It Raw, where we would make raw food stuff like 20 years ago. And I've always been really big into health and fitness. And these things change a lot. Whatever worked before doesn't really work the same when you hit perimenopause. And I and many other people just really were not aware of what was about to hit us. There is a lot of symptoms and a huge journey. And if you're in it, you know what I'm talking about. And we haven't talked about that a lot culturally until now. And even the medical profession is incredibly underinformed. About 80% of doctors still have zero training in menopause. So a lot of women are still in the dark trying to find answers. And so my mission is I really want us to be the last generation that walked into this blind. And I also,
Wow.
yeah. And I also, so I want to spread the word using my voice. And I can still do all the things I do, music, around that topic, and health stuff, recipes around that topic, everything I've wanted to do through that lens, because this is the stage that I'm in right now. And yeah, I also want to tell the stories and give visibility to all of the really powerful, beautiful, and still crushing it on every level, women that I know who are in their 40s and 50s, myself included. Because personally, for me, I'm not done. I want to like keep singing on stage, performing, being a rock star, dancing, being sexy, doing burlesque, going to festivals, all that stuff. It's a different level now, that I'm in my 40s. I have to have a lot more self-care practices and that kind of stuff. But I want the world to see the version of that woman. There is something in between. They say that, maiden, mother, crone. Well, what's between mother and crone? There's something else. And I think it's like a modern queen that really is fully embodied and actually in her prime, in her 40s, 50s, and 60s.
You go. You go. Well, thank you. We've had the conversation, I think, a couple times on our show, and I believe during one of those conversations, I said it amazes me that half or more than half, or maybe even a little less than half, but the population of the world goes through this.
Yeah.
And how come some of us don't know anything about it?
And it's 10 years long. I mean, pregnancy and birth is like so much shorter, and we have so much knowledge around that. So it's not just women, but it's like everyone in the world's affected by this, because it's like your mom, it's your sister,
Good
it's your wife.
point.
And we all need to understand what that change is going to look like and how we can face it with grace. And also, the decisions that we make about our health in this time period really affect our health for the rest of our lives. And people aren't really aware of that. So, yeah, I want to bring a my voice to the subject and spread the word as much as I can, because I'm done waiting on the, I don't know when the medical profession is going to catch up, but we have the internet now, so I want to spread the word.
Well, thank you for bringing it to the show. And are there songs that you've written about it yet? Or is this the purple one? Is that it? Is that one of them?
No, those songs are in the works. I'm going to be at some point performing in a show that my friend Raina Satori is doing. It's called So This Is Menopause, and kind of one woman show type of stuff. And but anyway, that is what I'm going to be creating. I'm working on that now.
Well, more power to you, and keep us in touch on that.
Okay.
Singing the Purples. And yeah. I got right away that it was kind of like singing the blues, only a different hue.
That's right.
Speaking of hues of colors. So Singing the Purples, what is this song about?
Well, purple's always been my favorite color. I've been purple since I was at birth, and the vibration of it is celebration and joy and spirituality and elevation. And I wanted to sing the blues, a happy blues song, basically. And I love that. It's about really, you know, going into the darkness and finding the light anyway, and celebrating, just the joy and all of the many colors of the rainbow.
Wow. Well, here's Amé Love and her pre-recorded song, Singing the Purples, on the Life Changes Show.
for singing the purple. Oh, 'cause life is truly beautiful. Life is good for singing the purple.
Life is good for having a May Love on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, May. How great was that? We want to remind everybody to go to Amay, AmayeLove.com. Your socials are all there. We actually have web links for her on the Life Changer Show page, but we also have the Etsy page and whatever else you want us to put up there, let's do it. Your cooking show, perimenopause, let's do it. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, maybe you can have me back when I've started my perimenopause channel. But right now, I'd love for more people to go head on to Spotify and just listen to the album that we've been, those two tracks are from my latest album, Real. And I'd love to get more people hearing that on Spotify.
Well, speaking of Real, I have to say that I want to add one more thing. And you're a big part of this. So I've been looking for signs, like there's signs all the time that we're on the right track, that things are happening in divine right order, as I'm sure you vibe with that, Amay, though it doesn't always feel like that. But when it does, I want to celebrate that. So I want you to be part of that celebration, that things are in divine right order, as much as I could tell. And here is a little example of that. So we were introduced to you in 2019, I think it was the end of 2019, or at the earliest 2020, in the 1920s, that's when it was, in a past life, Amay.
I was there.
You were there, and I remember it well. So you have been, and now we all know, busy with so many other projects. And so we've touched base, and then it was COVID, and then it was this, and then you had that, and then we had that, and then we were booked, and then you were out of the country or something. So all these years later, then I thought, this is the year we're going to have Amay Love on the show.
It was perfect timing, wasn't it?
Well, yes, and even more perfect than you know. Now, we asked you on several different occasions for two songs. You ended up sending us three on the day, and we also gave you three different dates, I think, the last time we connected, and you picked this one. Yeah. The song you ended up sending to us that we're going to play on this date, which is June 23rd, in which this week we have three or four, maybe even five people that are close to the Life Changes show that are celebrating birthdays.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so beginning with our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue's daughter, Trisha Wall, is celebrating her birthday in 2 days. And then our producer from when we first started the show, who helped us launch, Mark Skelton's birthday is in 4 days. And my birthday is in 3 days.
Oh, my gosh. Happy birthday to all of you. That's so exciting.
And you sent us an amazing birthday song the third song, just because.
I just was sitting there and I'm like, man, any interview with me should really include this song, because You know, the amazing birthday song is a vision is so much bigger than me. It's an original birthday song. You know, I was inspired by Stevie Wonder's birthday song, and suddenly it all came out of me. This was back in like 2009. I ended up doing a Kickstarter campaign and to make a music video featuring 50 of my friends. You can find it on YouTube, the amazing birthday song on my Amelove YouTube channel, and you can send that video to your friends on their birthdays. And since then, it's just been spreading all over the world. I get stories. Hundreds and hundreds of people have come up to me in the last decade plus telling me how they sing it to every single person they know on their birthday. So it's kind of like it was meant to be an alternative birthday song, but I realized, you know, it's a little bit longer, a little bit more funky and complicated than just the regular birthday song, which, by the way, I think sounds like a funeral dirge, which was part of it. So I don't want to hear a funeral dirge on my birthday. So it's basically like a birthday song for cool, creative people, right? So.
Well, here's Amelove's, it's literally called Amazing
The
Birthday
amazing birthday.
Song,
The amazing
and
birthday.
spelled Amaezing.
That's right.
And so to all the birthdays in our family and to all of those celebrating birthday, actually, whenever you're hearing this, happy birthday to you. Here is Amelove's amazing birthday song, pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show. Happy birthday to you.
Absolutely.
And Ame, thank you so much. All the best to you, and looking forward to more from your beautiful heart and your creative mind.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Amelove, Amaelove. Go to amelove.com or find her on the socials, Amelove, or find her at the Life Changes Show. And with a big thank you to Amelove, our performance guest, and another big thank you to Kamala Nellen, our interview guest. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo, along with all of our team and family here at the Life Changes Show, wishing you all the best. And as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, I should say, wishing you all happy birthday. And as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.